I'm sorry I couldn't wear my shorts. And I told Vanna that I'm charging double the normal rate because I'm on holiday. It's great to be in Cape Town. God has given us perfect weather. I mean, look at this day outside. What are we doing inside? We've been on pretty much every beach and mountain that Cape Town has to offer. And it's just great to, my kids are now old enough to show them some significant places. And I've been able to, I think we spent 2 days in Stellenbosch, which is not enough. You need like 2 weeks in Stellenbosch. So I was able to show them why I got baptized in the indoor pool. And we were able to swim with my son in the dam up in Stellenbosch, and where we used to have devotionals as a campus ministry back in the days with John Muir and Kuni. Just some great friends. But it's great to be in Cape Town. And we've had a great time staying with the Moorse, and they've been treating us really well. And been just the hospitality has been great. And we're having a great time. Unfortunately, it's running out tomorrow, and we need to head back to Joburg. This morning, I want to speak about, I know you guys are talking about spiritual growth this time of the year. And that every one of us, we want to grow this year, right? If you don't grow, you're going to die. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, we need to keep on growing. And we need to keep on growing and becoming more like God. Now, if you think about God, what images comes up in your mind? Is he up there like a grandfather or a general or a buddy? What do you think about when you think about God? Is he some mystical force up in heaven that solves your problems? The most important thing about any human being is your picture of God. And if you and I have a wrong or warped picture of God, the problem is you're going to respond to God the wrong way your whole life. And I hope you're not thinking that this is a sermon for your boss or your neighbors. It's for you. Even as a Christian, we can have a wrong picture of who God is. In Colossians 1 verse 16, the Bible says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." Even though we can enjoy part of God's creation, God created it for him. Firstly. So think about it. God created, when God created the universe, what was there? What did God use to create the universe? You guys are quiet. Are you not allowed to speak on Sundays? Or what did God use to create the universe? What's that? Words. Okay, that's what was the tool he used. But what material did he use? Nothing. How cool is that? We've got some creative guys around the world, right? People can create amazing things. Every now and then, I mean, as soon as I get to know how my phone works, there's like 3 or 4 newer versions on the market. It's amazing how creative humans can be. But we need something to create it. God created everything in the universe out of nothing. It was created by him, and it was created for him. And then in Acts 17, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, from one man, He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. Sometimes I read the scripture and I think, yeah, there's still a lot of open spaces around our country, but there's already so much chaos. There's too many people. God says, fill the whole earth. There's a lot of people that's still going to come to fill the whole earth. But God says that's why He created it. And He says so that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Sometimes you think God made a mistake. I should have lived in a better neighborhood, eh? God did this for a reason. He says so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. So God created the whole universe, and God created you for one purpose. Yeah, you've got talents and strengths that you need to use for His glory. But my first purpose is to find God. Now this is crucial. You've got to get this point. Not a version of God, but God. Most people around the world have a... No, that's not right. Every person ever created has a version or a picture of God. Even the atheist. Sometimes I think the atheists spend more time thinking about God and why He doesn't exist than Christians do. How crazy is that? Atheists spend their whole life trying to prove that there's no God. They spend more time thinking about God and formulating their picture of God than some Christians do. So this is it. We've got to find God, and we've got to find the real God. Not a picture or a version of who we think God is. God created us to have this relationship with Him. And if I have the wrong picture of God or who God is and what God is like, I'm going to respond to Him the wrong way my whole life. Even with the right doctrine, we can respond to God the wrong way. Now let's think about it. There are many pictures or versions of God. I'm going to describe a few, and maybe you can relate to some of these. And the first one, got a picture there on the screen, is the faceless God or the nameless God. He's some mysterious force up in the universe somewhere. He's distant. He's unknown. He's out there somewhere busy creating another universe because this one is not doing so well. And we form this picture based on our upbringing, our parents, the church we grew up in, our education, and different life experiences. All puts the pieces of puzzle together, and eventually we have this picture of God that we respond to, that we pray to, and that we sing to. So the faceless or nameless God, for many people, that's who God is. God is up there. I know He does exist, because how can anyone else create this? Can't be evolution. I mean, this is too cool to have evolved into being such organized, precise, where we are stuck in our galaxy compared to the sun and the moon. If anything goes wrong, we are doomed by a few centimeters, right? We are perfectly placed to live the life we're living. So the first one is the faceless or the nameless God. The second one is in America, in the cars in the States, they have a what they call OnStar. It's like a GPS, but it's built in. And you can, when you're lost on the road somewhere, you can just, switch this thing on and it says, "Good morning, Brian. What can I do for you today?" And you say, "Well, I'm lost. I'm looking for the nearest BP station." And it tells you how far it is. It tells you where you are and where you need to be and how long it's going to take there to get there. And for many people, that's who God is. If I've lost my way through life, I dial into God. God, can you tell me where I am? Where I need to be going? And we dial into God when we need Him. The third one, which I think is oftentimes how people view God, is the grandfather God. Some have hair, some don't have hair. Eh? Mostly, when you're a real grandfather, you don't have hair anymore. Some people view God like that. He's a nice guy. He's kind. He's gentle. He never raises his voice. He's calm. He's still. He's not really up to date with the latest technology. He's lost most of his teeth. He's always there for you. If he has hair, it's gray. He moves very slowly. Probably got a kiri to get along. And he's up there in heaven, smiling on all his children. Never gets angry. Never gets upset. Never disciplines anybody. Just spoils all his kids. And if you're a child of God who's a grandfather, you just get spoiled by God all the time. Is that your picture? You see, if you want to grow in 2012, you have to have the right picture of who God is. Some people see God as the scorekeeper. He works with credits and debits. And He keeps score of your life. He watches you all the time. He's got eyes everywhere, right? He knows what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're about to do, what you haven't done, mostly is what He sees. And He keeps score. And He gives you positives and wipes out the negatives if you do good things. Oftentimes, that's how I view God, even as a disciple. I remember growing up, going to university, I would go to church because it's the right thing to do. But also, I know if I go to church on Sunday, everything I did wrong last week gets wiped out. My credit card is full now. I can spend. I can sin because I'm on zero. So the best place you can be with God is on zero. That's how many people see God. That's how our society works. And for some of you guys, that's probably why you came to church this morning. To get some credits from God. Then there's the doomsday God. He's all about hell, fire, and damnation. He doesn't want you to make it. He's waiting to catch you out and find a reason why you shouldn't be in heaven. Foul. Sorry. You're not going to make it. He's like, you know, when there's bugs in your house and you want to get rid of them on a hot day, you just want to stamp on them or crush them. And oftentimes, that's how we view God. God is just out waiting for me to make a mistake so He can destroy me. Game over. I knew you're not going to make it anyway. And that's why oftentimes people don't even try. Because how am I going to please this perfect God if He's out to catch me doing something wrong? Then there's the stained glass God. He lives in a church. He needs to look like a church. These windows, obviously this is not a church building, right? It needs to be fancy. You know those colorful stained glass windows? Holy. You don't touch them. But the building needs to have them. That's where God is. The stained glass God. You go there to meet Him on a Sunday. He doesn't come to your house. He's busy. You go to church to meet God. There's got to be an organ. What is this stuff you've got on the stage here? It's got to be an organ. The preacher needs to have the right outfit. It's got to be official.
the real thing. You've got to have the right language. Holy. Old English. Of Hoog Afrikaans. I'm not sure about Khoza. You're not allowed to make noise. It can't be too noisy. It's got to be silent. Because you need to listen to God. You can't smoke in this building because God is there. You can smoke outside, but not inside. Then there's the average Joe God. He looks like the average guy. He's got a normal name. He's on our level. He's my buddy. He's just another guy. He talks like us, thinks like us. He's my bud. He's my friend. He's my chump. Is that how you view God? Sometimes we rebel from the way we grew up and we turn to this vision of God. He's now just my buddy. And I can talk to him like I want to, when I want to. Doesn't matter. He's even got a cap. And when we have a good time, he turns it around. And he looks like a teenager. We now officially have a teenager in the house. So I actually whispered to my daughter this morning, now you have to listen to me every Sunday. She says, but I already listen to you every day. Teenager, yeah. Then there's the eBay God, where you go and get stuff you can't find anywhere else. It's certainly not at the right price. The price that you're looking for, that you're willing to pay. This is the God where, this is the place where you get rid of, you go to eBay, you sell the stuff you don't want anymore, right? To see what is the best price you can get. And this is your picture of God. This is the way you treat God. You go to God to get rid of people and things and situations in your life you don't like. Okay, can you please deal with this boss of mine? Take him to another company. Just take him out. He's not interested in you anyway, so it's not going to be a waste. Take him out. God, this situation I'm in, can you just change it for me, please? I think oftentimes we go to God with a to-do list. And it's not a prayer. It's a to-do list. And we think, well, God has got all the time in the universe. He tells us that, right? One day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So God, you're never going to get tired. And we try and keep God busy with our to-do list. That's not the God. That's not what God wants to be. Then there's the me God. I'm self-contained. I'm self-motivated. I'm in charge. I'm self-supported. I'm financially independent. I'm in control. It is my ship. There's even a book called It's My Ship. Right? Great book. But sometimes we view God like that. This is my ship that God gave me, and I'm in charge. God says, no. It's my ship. In fact, the ocean is mine, not just the ship. Everything you have belongs to me, is what God says. Of course, then there's the no God. I don't believe in God. The atheist. Very hard to be an atheist if you do a bit of traveling and you get out into nature. It's very hard. You got to have a deep faith in yourself to be an atheist. Look at all, you don't even have to travel. Just drive around the peninsula. Look at the ocean. And, you know, it's great. We were able to take our kids to the aquarium, to Ocean's Aquarium. And it's great to be able to show my kids what a paddle moon looks like. Because they're never going to see one under the sea. And I was able to explain to them, these things we dived out as students to pay for what should have been school fees was actually social fees. Beer money. And crayfish. I don't think there's a lot of crayfish left in the oceans. But you go to the ocean aquarium, they're huge. I said to Ricky, I said, you're probably going to pay like $600 to eat that thing in the restaurant. We took them out. Legally with a permit and the right amount, we just sold them illegally to the restaurants. But I wasn't a disciple back then, okay? This was long ago. In fact, September last year was my 21st spiritual birthday. So I was baptized in 1990 when the church started in Cape Town. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the good far outweighs the bad and the ugly. But the bad and ugly just makes it real. Otherwise it was fake and it wasn't real. Then there's the PC God. Not computer, personal computer, but politically correct. And that's becoming a very famous version of God. He's not abrasive. He's not offensive. There's something for everybody. It's like a buffet, like a combo deal. You can choose which combo you want, like McDonald's. You can add and take what you like, what you don't like. I don't want God. There's some passages in the Bible that it's just not for me. It doesn't fit into my schedule, my character, my lifestyle. And I'm sure God will understand because He gave me this life. So what is your picture of God? Maybe you've got something else. Maybe you've got a combination of some of these. At times He's this and other times He's that. In Romans 1, verse 18 to 20, the Bible says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men, who suppresses the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, not from 2,000 years ago, not when God called Abraham, He says, from the beginning of time, before anyone was created, He says, where am I now? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal powers, and His divine nature, what He is like, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man or men are without excuse. See, it doesn't matter where you grew up. No one will be with an excuse. But I didn't know God. But this is what I was taught, God. But this is what I thought. This is what I believed. Now God says, I want you to see me for who I really am. We got to find the right God. Not a version or a picture of God. And this is so crucial that God created everything to point us to Him, to the real God. When you look at creation, from the smallest of microbiology to the largest black hole, God created all of that to show us something about Him, who He really is. And when you look at creation, there's no ways you can picture God as a boring God. Right? Sometimes we think, well, look at this cool things people come up with now. The latest dance is called the shuffle, eh? I mean, I'm the only one in my family who can't do the shuffle. Can you show us what the shuffle looks like, Anay? Even Reuben, he's 4 years old, he can do the shuffle. I can, every day I'm shuffling. God could shuffle before he created the universe. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing new under the sun. God knew about it all before you think, what a cool idea. Wow. Check what they came up with. So God used nature, the universe, Old Testament, New Testament. Of course, God used Jesus. You know, yes, Jesus came down to save us from our sin, to give us his plan of salvation. But you know what? Jesus also came down because the Israelites never saw God. Right? Am I right? No one had ever seen God face to face. How's it, God? No, we'll die. But in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he had spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. God wanted us to see a living picture of what he is like. And God realized that this is so important that we have the right picture of who God is. If we don't have the right picture, we're not going to respond to God the way we need to. So God said, I'm going to give you a living, walking, talking, breathing example of what I'm like. Not just a picture of who I am, the exact representation. Think about it. God is so cool. God says, he created us in his image. Right? What does that mean? We look like God. God has, the Bible says, has hands, he has feet, he has a nostril. The arm of the Lord is not too short to save. God has eyes, God has a back. That's all that Moses saw, right? How cool is that, guys? We are an image of what God looks like. In his image and in his likeness. Now, not your sinful likeness. But we all have good qualities. And as you become disciples, as we grow to become more like God, we have a better picture of what God is like. And so God sent Jesus down. And in Jesus, we can see the mind of God, the attitude of God, the values of God, the motives of God, the ideals, the likes, and the dislikes of God. We are able to see it all and get to know God in a personal manner. And God used Jesus to demonstrate the relationship that he wants with you. And the relationship that God wants with you is that of a son or a daughter and a father. And this is the crucial point of this message. Is I've got to see God as a father. And God is not an improvement or a reflection of my earthly father. God is the perfection of my earthly father. Okay? When Jesus got baptized, you know Jesus got baptized, right? That was a huge deal for God and for Jesus. Because God created us not just to find him, seek him and find him, but God wants us to respond to him like a father. And God created a need in every human being to have a perfect father. Now, when you and I think about a father, we oftentimes have a negative picture of a father. It's amazing how many single moms are around nowadays. Dads don't often have a good picture. If you look at movies, it's mostly men are the bad guys in the movies. And if there's a movie about a father figure, a father-child relationship, the fathers are always the bad guys. Have you seen that? Even in the animal kingdom. But God wants us to see Him as a perfect Father. With no weaknesses. He's always available. He's not too busy. He always has time for me. He listens. He listens to me and He knows what I'm going to say even before I say it. But He doesn't chip in. He doesn't pretend to know everything. He disciplines always, always in the perfect way at the perfect time. Always. God has never made a mistake. God has never spoken to you and I in a wrong way. And so Jesus, as the Son of His Father, needed to hear from His Father, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you know what? That's the thing that you and I want to hear from our earthly fathers that oftentimes kids don't hear. But God has created us in such a way that ultimately that's what we want to hear from God. Because God created us in this father-son relationship. In Matthew 6 verse 9, when Jesus began to preach and taught his disciples how to pray, He says, "How do you pray? How do you speak to God?" He says, "Our almighty, heavenly, awesome, incredible God." And no, He says, "Our Father, which are in heaven." Right? Am I right? In Matthew 5 verse 16, Jesus says, "See your deeds and glorify your omnipotent, omnipotent God." No, He says, "Your Father." In John 14 verse 9, "If you've seen me," Jesus says, "you've seen the Father." In fact, the word Father just in the Gospels appears 189 times. Just in the Gospels. The number one word that Jesus uses to address God or speak about God was Father. Father. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the worst day of His life on earth, He addresses God still as Father. If there's no other way, that's what Jesus modeled for us. And that's what God deeply desires. God wants to be not just your God, who's almighty and He's everywhere at the same time and can do anything in the universe and can do more than we ask or imagine. No. More than anything else, God wants to be your Father. In Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." Not 25% right, or 30% or 50%. If you decide to be a disciple of Jesus, you have the full rights as a son or a daughter of God. What does that mean? You can inherit the whole bag. Not a section of the universe. Everything will belong to you. This is what the Bible says. Right? Jesus will get everything. You and I are brothers and sisters of Jesus. We get everything. We have full rights as sons and daughters. Now, most of us still have birth certificates, right? Some of you, you can't remember where it is. You can't even remember where you were born. It's so long ago. You still have your spiritual birth certificate? Don't worry. We never handed out birth certificates back then in the 1990s, right? I think nowadays you get a certificate when you get baptized. You don't? Okay, that's something we're going to start in Joburg now. You're actually going to get a passport. Okay? And when you pass all the courses, you get a full citizenship in heaven. But you know what? We have a birth certificate in heaven. Not at Home Affairs, where it gets lost or stolen or duplicated or triplicated. It's so funny. We attended this course with John Louis in Budapest in December. And he says, in some countries, copyright means the right to copy. You have a birth certificate in heaven. It's not going to rot. It's not going to get lost. It's not going to get stolen. It was filled in by your Father in heaven. You know, we can talk about our earthly fathers. Maybe you had a great father, and he was everything you desired. But he's nothing compared to our Heavenly Father, who has never made a mistake. That's the way God wants us to respond to Him. You know, and He says, the Spirit, when we become sons and daughters, we get the Spirit of God. And He doesn't just slumber in there and lies down and relaxes until you make it to heaven. No, the Spirit, the Bible says, calls out to God, Abba, Father. Right? A spiritual, intimate cry out of God's Spirit inside of us to our Heavenly Father. And so everything God has designed and given us all points to the fact that God wants to be a perfect father to you. For many of us, the father that you never had is what God wants to be. And even if you did, God wants to be the perfect father. You know, today there are many people, many women who don't even want to get married. They want to have kids, but they don't want to have a father. That's just the truth of our society. People want to get married, a lot of people don't want to get married because of their negative picture of what a father is like. Some people, you've never met your father. He left when you got born. You don't even know what your father looks like. And that makes it difficult to see God as a father. Because everything in you fights against what a father is. And we've got to change that. We've got to realize God is a perfect father. And He wants to fill the hole if you never had a great father. That's what God wants to be for every one of us. If we want to make it to heaven, we're not going to make it just because we have the right doctrine. Just because we sing good, nice songs. We have got to have the right picture of what God is and what God looks like. So my challenge for you this year is to find God in a better way, in a more real way. And that you can speak to God, you can respond to God. When things happen in your life, you will respond to God because He's your Father. He wants to be there for you when the storms are rough, when things are upset and your life is turned upside down. And everyone else has deserted you, even your best friends. God says, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be there to the very end. Just hang on to your Heavenly Father. And so in closing, I'm going to close out with a short video clip of a lady who sings a cool song about this great and cool and awesome God that we serve, that we need to call our Heavenly Father. Amen.
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you're looking to Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER or the OC, nothing on a CDT TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 Cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every Black Eyed Pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with the icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.